We have been in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus has been giving his disciples some signs through their time there together in the upper room. Signs that they were going to be servants by washing the disciples' feet. Signs that someone was going to betray him, complete with handing that bread to Judas. Signs that one of them would deny him by the time that the rooster would crow, but yet that person would be restored. Signs that he loved them so much that he was going to come back for them and take them to the place that he was making for them. And last week, he told us about the signs that would follow those who believed in him, that they would do even greater things than he had done, that they would carry on his ministry by the world, by showing the world signs and wonders. And it's appropriate today on Easter when we receive the biggest sign of all that this is really going to happen and be possible. The empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. The biggest sign for us that everything Jesus said was real and true and could be there for us. But today Jesus is going to give his disciples and us one more sign. But this one is a little different than the others because this one is a sign about us. And it's a sign that's not just about us, but it's a sign that can be clearly seen not just by us, but by those around us as well. So let's look at it together in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. So short, so simple, so easy for us to grasp and understand. If you love me, obey my commandments. It sounds so simple, yet Jesus is adding another layer to what he told us last week. Last week we talked about if you believe, you will do. You will do the same things that he was doing, even greater things. And yet it was showing us that your belief will have a sign to show that it's really there. That just by saying that you believe wasn't enough, but by believing you are going to live and do and be. And you'll know that whether or not you really believe that Jesus is God by what's happening and taking place in our lives. You'll be doing the same thing that Jesus did. You will be his representative on this earth, on this planet. So you'll show the world how God's love is real by showing them the same things that Jesus did. And today Jesus adds the next layer to what he's trying to get us to see and to understand. And that is this: if you love, you will obey. This is what God was telling them, that if you love him, you will obey what is said in his word. You will be careful to do everything that was there for them to know and to be obedient to what he said, because we loved him. Not because we had to, not because we should, but because we love. And because we loved him that much, and we loved him so deeply, that we want to let our love be shown in how we live. And this will be our new sign of our belief, that if we really do love him, we'll obey what he said. Whether you break his laws or not, or you keep them, it's going to show what's happening and taking place in your heart. And the sign of your love will be visible to you and everyone around you. So yes, this sign is going to show two purposes. It will help us to be able to see and know if we're actually doing what we're supposed to, and it'll help those who are around us actually see if what we're saying lines up with what we're doing. You see, people will see whether or not we say actually does line up with what we do. And if it does, it's going to help them believe. And if it doesn't, well, then you might hear that hypocrite word used in your general direction. But either way, we see, and they see. And that knowledge will help us understand something very important this morning. That we cannot say that we love Jesus if we're not doing what he said. It's just that simple and just that easy. There's no complex theological way that we have to try to think it. It's just that easy. If we love him, we're going to do what he said. And sure, we can say that we love him, but we can't say that we love him and then do things that he told us not to do. Sure, I love Jesus, but I've got some pretty good swear words in my vocabulary, and I use them towards people that I'm supposed to love and forgive. It doesn't add up. Yes, I love Jesus, but I just want to get what I want out of this life. And it doesn't matter who I hurt to do it. It's just business. It doesn't matter how I treat people. Yes, it does. It does. I can look at porn. It doesn't affect my relationship with anyone. Oh, yeah? It does. I know what God said about drinking alcohol, but it's just a little wine and it doesn't hurt me because it's not the hard stuff. But yet it does because God's word told us to avoid fermented drink. I love Jesus and so does that person over there. And I really need to let them know what's happening with so-and-so because I've got to share the prayer request. We don't call it gossip. We call it a prayer request. We might not ever pray, but we've got to share that prayer request so they know what's going on and happening, right? See, it doesn't matter why or what excuse we make for not obeying what his word said. It's still wrong. And we will know whether or not we really love God by looking to see if we're really obeying what he said. Our obedience is going to be the proof of our love. Our obedience is going to show us whether or not we really do love Jesus. Our obedience is going to show the world whether or not we really do love Jesus. And if we really do love him, and if we are obedient, look at what happens next in verse 16. Jesus tells us, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus tells us that if we love him, he's going to send us another advocate. Now we know that words have meaning. So let's stop for a moment and just look at the meaning of what Jesus said. The Greek word that's used here means an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, comforter, and helper. But if that still leaves us kind of struggling with what Jesus was talking about, Webster's defines advocate as one who pleads the cause of another or who defends and maintains a cause. So Jesus is going to send us an advocate, someone who is going to continue to do what he was doing here on earth. And he will help us maintain that cause of Christ in this world, to share his love, to move in his power, to explain his grace. And we can say that confidently because Jesus tells us that it's going to be given to us from the Father. And when you look at the Greek words that are used here, it means one of the same kind. That we are going to be given is from the Father, but not just from the Father, a part of the Father, or in the Greek, one of the same kind as the Father. And this means that he will be God. And here's this wonderful thing that Jesus is showing his disciples, that this advocate will never leave you. And Jesus is complete, and it's very good to tell them the name. He's not just leaving them wondering and guessing, well, who's this advocate? What is it? It's the Holy Spirit. So yes, this advocate that comes from the Father is the third member of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three forms, but yet one God. So Jesus is talking to us about how part of God is going to come and be here with us. And remember, he said that this part that's going to come is going to be unique and different. He says that he's going to lead you into all truth. So the function of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to do something pretty amazing. He's going to lead us into all truth. But that doesn't mean we're going to have an intellectual understanding of the Pythagorean theorem and everything that comes with it. No, that's not what he's talking about. Jesus told the disciples that he was truth. So the Holy Spirit will lead us to Jesus and the truth of who he is. That's what the Spirit is coming to do. To show us who Jesus is. To show us. As a matter of fact, God's word tells us that the Holy Spirit will enlighten minds to the truth about God and his Son. You would never have known who Jesus is unless the Holy Spirit enlightened you and pulled you in. You would have no concept of who he is. You would have no concept of grace, that you need to change, that you felt something wrong, you needed love and grace, you needed forgiveness of sins. That's all the work that the Holy Spirit does in your hearts. He pulls. But he will also guide followers to grow in the truth of God's love. He's going to be there for us once we accept him in our hearts and lives to help us grow in our relationship. And then as we grow, he will help us see God's plan for us. The truth of who God made you to be. The truth of who he called you to be. The truth of who he allows you to be and the power of the Spirit in you. You are loved and created by God to do amazing things, to do greater things than Jesus did on this planet. And the Holy Spirit will move inside of you so that you can do that. And we know this because Jesus says you will know him because he will live in you. Now, for the record, the Holy Spirit has been with the disciples. They had been sent out a couple times. There were miracles. There were signs and wonders. There were amazing things because the Holy Spirit had already been with them. But what this idea, what Jesus was sharing with the disciples, was really a game changer. See, this was a change in how people thought of and viewed the Holy Spirit. Because in Old Testament times, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and then left. Think of Samson. Samson was in trouble. What would happen? The Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he would have strength and could lift up city gates and carry them. The Holy Spirit would come on Samson, and he could tear this apart. The Holy Spirit would come on Samson, and he could take a donkey jawbone and beat all these. The Spirit would come and then leave. So I want you to see and understand that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come for a purpose and function and then leave. Like Saul, when he was being told that he was going to be king, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was prophesying with all the prophets. But the Holy Spirit then left, and you saw what happened with Saul's life. So that's what was happening in the Old Testament. And all through the Old Testament, that's how the Holy Spirit functioned. It would come upon someone, and then it would leave. But now, according to Jesus, the role of the Holy Spirit is about to change. Because it's going to do something. Something else is going to happen that was beyond their comprehension at this time. The Holy Spirit was going to come to them. And in doing so, Jesus gives them something else. He says, I will come to you. So please understand what Jesus was telling his disciples this morning. That even though he was going away, that he would be there making a place for them. He was going to be here with them. And Jesus will come to us through the Holy Spirit. And remember, this isn't a hard concept if we embrace what we were talking about last week. Remember, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is part of the one true God. And because the Spirit will live in us, Jesus will live in us. You can't separate them. It's not like a mozzarella stick where you can, peel off the little pieces. That's not how it works. If the Holy Spirit is in us, then God is in us. They are in each other, and they are the same. So if the Spirit is in us, Jesus is in us. So let's stop and talk about what we're celebrating today, Easter Sunday, the day that the grave couldn't hold Jesus any longer, that because of this day, Jesus will not just be next to us, but will now live inside of us because of the cross and the resurrection. Because of what we celebrate today, we have the promise that the Spirit is going to come, and he does come and do something amazing in us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And because of that empty tomb, what he did some 2,000 years ago makes all of this possible. So much so that just listen to what Jesus says next about it before it even happens. Look at verse 19. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live in you, you also will live in me. And when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And I want each and every one of you to see this today, that through the resurrection that we celebrate today, something can happen to us. Jesus tells his disciples that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Well, how can Jesus be inside of us? He can be inside of us when we have God in our lives. We can have Jesus in our lives by accepting his love and his grace. Paul puts it so plainly for us. We have to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then we can be saved. We have to ask him to come in. He doesn't just come in on his own. We've got to ask him to come in. The Holy Spirit begins that process of leading and guiding us. And we get to the point that we know and understand that we need to change. And we say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. And he comes into our hearts. Not our blood pumping muscle. Nope, there goes plaque. Oh, you're going to be in trouble later. No, that's not what he does. When he comes into our hearts and lives, he comes into the seat of our emotions. He comes into where we are on the inside, the part of us that lives on even after we die. And he comes into this innermost part of who we are and does that work. The Holy Spirit comes in and at that moment begins to forgive and wash away our sin. And Jesus takes his place in our hearts and in our lives. And it's all done and made possible to us by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then as that Spirit lives in us, we'll begin to grow in our love. We'll begin to understand more and more. We'll begin to see who he created us to be. But there is something that we have to remember this Easter. We continue to keep him there by our obedience. We have to remember that this isn't some cosmic get-out-of-jail card. Right? Anybody played Monopoly out there? That get-out-of-jail card was a wonderful thing. Because you could go around and you could do all kinds of things, and if you got thrown in that way, you just had to go back and show the card. I'm good. Just passing through. And somewhere along the way, the church has brought this idea that what Jesus did on the cross, what we celebrate as Easter, is something that is just akin to a get-out-of-jail card. That I can go around and live however I want in this life. I can do whatever makes me happy. And then when it comes time to pay the price, all I have to do is show the card and I'm good. But that's not what Scripture tells us. That's not what Jesus is showing us. As a matter of fact, he's showing us something different. That if we really love him, we will obey what he says. We will do. And it'll be seen in this way. Since I love you, you will also live. And that's what we celebrate today. That Jesus lives, that the grave is empty, that our victory has been won. And that because he lives, that we will. And this is how God will live in us. That Jesus is going to pay the price for us and our sin on the cross. We know that. That's what Good Friday was all about. The resurrection will be our confirmation of our salvation and our eternal life with him. Yes, that's what we celebrate today. But to have this, we have to accept him and do what he says. Sometimes we get stuck that we just have to accept him. But it's very clear that Jesus is saying we accept him and we do what he says. We're not saved by works, lest any man could boast, but our works are going to show what's happening in our hearts and our lives. And there has to be something there that shows what's going on and happening. We have to do both. Accept his sacrifice and live according to what he said. And if we do that, we'll live. Death will no longer have our sting for us. We will spend eternity with him forever. That is what will happen to us, and we have that promise. But listen to what Jesus says next in verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. And anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. We will come and make our home with you. But there is something that he tells us. That anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And this is the direct opposite of what we started with this morning. What we started with is if you love me, you will obey. But those who don't love me will not obey. And I think we need to see that what we do is the proof of our love. Not just in loving Christ, but in loving anyone. What we do is the proof of our love. We can't just say that we love Jesus. We have to live it in this world. We have to be a part and do what he's called us to do. So don't fool yourself with the belief that you can do whatever you want and that you'll still be fine with God. That's not why Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. That's not why he rose from the tomb so that we could just be whatever. That's not why he did that. He did it so that you could be changed, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be restored. And our love for God will be seen by how much we follow his example. It'll be seen by how much we do what he said, by how much we live like he told us to live, to do what he told us to do. And when we follow him, I want you to see that Jesus promises us something that is beyond what we can imagine. Look at verse 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. When we believe and obey, I want you to see that we get a special gift, a peace of mind and heart. And this peace is greater than just knowing where we're going to spend eternity. Because this is a peace that comes and is there for us in our lives. And that the Holy Spirit coming to our lives will bring the peace of God in us. The same peace that Jesus used when he calmed the storms is the same peace that he wants to use in our hearts and our lives. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of everything that we go through in life, Jesus wants his peace to be in us. Because the same God who calmed those storms and seas lives in us. And he can bring us the same peace, the same hope, the same joy, because he lives there with us. God will be in your life, so remember, he'll teach you and remind you, so learn to listen. The Holy Spirit's the one who leads and guides, and if he's telling us,
danger,
obey it. Learn to listen to that voice. If he tells us to go in this direction, go. We have to learn to listen because we, like Paul, can either listen to the Spirit's voice or he tells us in Romans 1:18 that we can suppress that truth in our wickedness. We have to learn to listen to the Spirit's voice. He'll teach you and remind you, so learn how to listen. And remember that this is a gift we do not deserve, so remember what we really have. It's an amazing gift. Life is an amazing gift. When I had surgery for my brain tumor, I had to have it because they said if not in 10 years, I'd be dead. And then they also gave me that wonderful phrase of saying that if you have it, there's a good chance you're going to die on the table, but you could live. How's that for odds? You know? All right, let's do it, right? No. There was a peace that settled over me that I couldn't understand. I was joking with the nurses, and they had to keep reminding me what I was there for. You know you're here for brain surgery? Yes, I know. You know you could die? Yes, I know. I remember the anesthesia and not knowing if I would wake up here or there and being at peace with it. I remember coming up out of surgery, and anybody who's been through surgery knows it's like coming through a fog. And when it's surgery on your head, it's like that fog is even thicker and greater, and it's just tough trying to understand. And I remember looking up and seeing light. And my first thought was, oh no. Just being honest, right? And then I looked around and I'm like, wait a minute, I hear things happening. I hear all those monitors and the beeping and I'm like, then I looked around and I could grasp where I was, that I was in a hospital room. And I knew I had woke up here. And it wasn't long after that that Ginger came through the door and I about lost it. Because at that moment I knew what I had. And sometimes in this life, we forget what we really have. We forget what Easter is all about. We forget what the power of the cross really means. We forget what it means to have love and forgiveness of sin and God living in our hearts and our lives. And we refuse to listen. Or we think that this is better. Or we want to experience this and do this. And we give up on what is so real and true. And we can't do that. Understand this morning how great this is. To have our God living inside of us, forgiving us. And if He's living inside of us, then what do we have to fear? What do we have to fear? It's why Jesus said, "Don't be troubled or afraid." And please understand that they are opposites of peace. Trouble, when our hearts are doing this, right? Our fear. Again, it'll be a sign that maybe something's not right. Because if He's living in our hearts and our lives, we're not supposed to have trouble or fear. But if our hearts are filled with trouble and fear, then we have a problem. Because the trouble and fear in our lives kind of shows us that there's something more there. They show us that we're not truly listening. That we're not obeying everything because Jesus told us to not fear and to trust. So if we're running around fearful of everything, then are we really trusting? Do we really have His peace? We can have His peace in the midst of the storm. But if we can see trouble and fear, then we can know that we need a change. If we see that we're, oh, fear, oh, trouble, oh, no, then it shows we've got a problem in how we trust. And we've got a problem with our faith. And we've got a problem knowing that Jesus is going to give us the peace that we need. And this Easter, with our world full of trouble and fear, Jesus wants to give us peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of fear. Peace in the midst of heartache. Peace in the midst of sickness. Peace that He's here. And listen to what Jesus says next in verse 28. Remember what I told you, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. And if you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches, and he has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. You see, this Easter, we have a promise from Jesus. I've told you these things so that when they happen, you will believe. And this Easter, we celebrate and remember that everything Jesus said did happen. The cross, the grave, the empty tomb, all of these things happened so that we could know and believe that Jesus is real, that His love is there, that He wants to be with us. But this morning, I have to ask, do we really believe? Or should I put it this way? Do we believe enough to obey? Because it's one thing to say, I love Jesus. I celebrate Him this Easter. But it's another thing to do what He says. And it's another thing to not let fear reign in our lives. And it's another thing to not let sin reign there. It's another thing we have to do what He says. But do we believe enough to obey? Do we love Him enough to do what He says? This morning, that's your choice. That's a choice each and every one of us must make. It's why Jesus came and He died on a cross so that we could have that opportunity to choose to follow or not. We all have a free will. And out of that free will, we can either hear the Spirit's voice and respond, or we can hear it and push it down. This morning, We can't say that we love him if we don't do what he says. Our disobedience actually proves otherwise. And you can't say that I'm the one saying it this morning because Jesus told it to his disciples. And today it's on us to examine our hearts and our lives to see if this Easter, are we loving him that much to do everything he says? Or is there something in our life that's showing us something different? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word, for your victory on the cross, for showing us ahead of time that all of these things were happening, for our victory, for our peace. But Father, even though we celebrate that victory today, some 2,000 years later, Lord, the truth of what you told your disciples in that upper room still remains here today. That if we love you, we will obey. And if we don't obey, we do not love. So, Father, look at every heart today and see if we're letting you rule and reign. Help us to see if fear or trouble is reigning. Help us to see if things we want to do are ruling or reigning. Help us to see if there's some sin that we still need to be forgiven of and washed away. Help us to look and see this morning if we love you enough to obey everything that you've said. In Jesus' name, help us to see today. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed.